You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. You've joined us on Irish 1000 Guineas Day at the Curragh. Another fantastic day of equine action over in the Emerald Isle, and it's the chance for the fillies to strut their stuff on Sunday. We've got that covered live from 1:10 p.m. alongside the domestic action at Fakenham and Nottingham. It's Mick Norton, Rory Zalagi and John Budden in the studio on Sunday afternoon. But joining myself, Sam Norris, on the Irish Podcast, as ever, is Mr. Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Sam.
How are you today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Good stuff. The 2,000 Irish Guineas yesterday, Andy. Ortard, the winner of that one, pulled nicely clear in the end to beat Galileo Gold and Blue de Vega. What did you make of the performance?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty impressive, wasn't it? He handled the conditions better than most. I think that was the key to his winning victory in the end, because, you know, all his best form had come on a soft surface, and quite a few of the main protagonists, such as Galileo Gold, Air Force Blue, wanted it obviously a lot quicker. It certainly played into the strengths of Kevin Prendergast's charges. Certainly didn't miss. He travelled really well. And on the day, he was a worthy winner in the conditions. I thought Blue de Vega ran well. And to be fair, I thought Galileo Gold didn't do a great deal wrong. Obviously, he was just caught out by a very good horse who loves the Curragh. And it was great for the octogenarian, wasn't it, as well? Kevin Prendergast still proving that he can mix it with the big boys.
Yeah, certainly so. And for all that people weren't in love with the Newmarket Guineas form, Galileo Gold's actually gone some way to boost that form. What with the first three in the betting finishing in the final three places that day, there were some people perhaps questioning the strength of the Newmarket Guineas form, but he's certainly given it a boost there by coming quite a good second.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, conditions yesterday were obviously very testing at headquarters. They just played into the hands of the winner, who's used to running on that ground. Obviously, didn't have to travel. Has been freshening up and trained, especially for the race. Whereas Galileo Gold, you know, put a massive effort in at Newmarket. The time figure suggested that. He's had to travel over. He's running on ground that he's never encountered before. So all in all, to finish second to a very good horse, we shouldn't underestimate just because he, you know, is not being talked up as much as one or two of the rest in the field. And I thought it was a decent effort. So, yeah, I think both Guineas form, English and Irish, are alive and well.
Yeah, indeed. And a quick word on Air Force Blue as well, Andy. Another very disappointing run, beaten home by three of his stable mates as well. Is that likely the last time we see him on a racetrack?
Well, there's got to be something wrong with him, hasn't there? Whether it's a mental or physical issue. It's just not him. It's not the kind of horse we saw last year, who carried all before him, won the Dewhurst, went into Winter as an odds-on favourite. Defeat was, you know, unheard of, wasn't it, in the Ballydore camp. But the warning signs were there. The fact that they put the tongue tie on him first time out in the English Guineas, that obviously come from totally from left field, to suggest that he might have some kind of internal wind problem. He ran badly, of course, and, you know, you don't want to sort of completely disregard one horse after one bad run. But now he's put two back-to-back performances like that together, then obviously the jury's very much out on him completely. So, yeah. He's been a bit disappointed, hasn't he, so far?
Yeah, certainly has, after a wonderful two-year-old season. Has disappointed a little bit as a three-year-old. But let's move on to Sunday's action at the Curragh now, Andy. It's an early start for us in Ireland. We start at 1:20 with the opening race of the day. This is a two-year-old maiden, ran over 6 furlongs in the market, headed by Churchill, Fraden O'Brien and Ryan Moore at 15-8, 100-30 about Moritzburg. Istan is 8-1, 9-1 for Jack Flash. War Secretary 9-1, and it's 12-1 or bigger prices for the rest of them. The majority of this field are newcomers, Andy, and this is a race that Aidan O'Brien has targeted in the past. He's won 4 of the last 5 renewals, including last year with Air Force Blue, who we've mentioned there, who, albeit as disappointed as a three-year-old, had an incredibly good two-year-old season. So he does like to put his good two-year-olds in this race.
He certainly does, yeah. Obviously, with Royal Ascot round the corner, this is one of the last major trials, in inverted commas, for quite a few of these two-year-olds if they are going to be bound for the Royal meeting. We've got a lot of the big stables represented here. It's a race that obviously is rich in tradition, certainly from the Aidan O'Brien camp anyway. As you say, four of the last five renewals have gone his way. And, you know, he's got a horse that we expected to hear big things about called Churchill. But, you know, it's first time out. It's first day at school. It's on soft ground. You know, not all these, all of these are going to be wound up and used to running on anything like this kind of surface. So I think it could actually pay to go with experience here, despite Aidan having one in it, and obviously Gerlines is also going well. He's got Jack Flash in it as well. So I'm going to go with Maritzburg, who, in keeping with a lot of Mickey Halford's horses, ran a race full of promise without ever looking like winning first time up. He was up against a horse who's got plenty of experience and is one of the fancied horses for the Coventry itself in the shape of Psychedelic Funk. He certainly couldn't live with the front two that day, but I like the way he stayed on in the latter stages. He also handled the softest ground as well, which augurs well for his chances today. The stalls are on the stand side, as they were yesterday for the two races, so I think it's a massive advantage to be drawn on the high side, particularly when the ground's on riding on the soft side. So, round about 4-1 this morning. I think it's a decent each-way bet here in Maritzburg with his experience, with the likelihood of him improving after the first run, as a lot of Mickey Halford horses do, and he's the choice in the first.
Maritzburg then the pick for Mickey Halford and William Buick in the opener at the Curragh on Irish 1000 Guineas Day. We move ahead to the big race next, coming up at 1:55. It is the Irish 1000 Guineas, a Group 1 for the fillies, ran over a mile. Minding heads affairs here at 4-11, 7-1 about now or never. Jet Setting 12-1, Turret Rock 16s, 20-1 for Coolmore and Tanaza. And it's bigger prices for the rest of the field. Hard to look away from Minding, Andy, although only one favourite in the last six renewals has gone in. It really looks all about her on paper.
Yeah, it does really, doesn't it? I mean, she's looked by far and away the best filly we've seen for quite some time. Obviously, been talk about her perhaps running against the Colts later on in the year. I think listening to Aidan O'Brien, the way he was speaking yesterday on ATR, he's almost going to use this race as almost like a piece of work for Minding, dare I say. Before perhaps going on to record a unprecedented win in the Oaks at Epsom in a few weeks' time. You certainly get that impression anyway. Ballydore was obviously all the rage, having finished second to Minding in the English version, and she was the number one representative, or so be it, all the way up to the final decoration stage when Minding obviously took it over and Ballydore has been put on the substitutes bench. She was brilliantly impressive at Newmarket. She travelled supremely, as her class suggested, and she got the job done in emphatic fashion. It looked a pretty good race. The time figure suggested it was, and if she's in anywhere near the same kind of form, then she's likely to do the same. But obviously, me being a little bit of a value punter, there's no way I'm going to stick a 3-1 on shot up here and expect punters to get stuck in. So I'm going to look for a little bit of value against it. And the filly I quite like here at the prices is Jet Setting. Also, I had a bit of an audacious tilt on at the in the 1,000 guineas itself. She was a 33-1 shot on the day, and she ran like one. But the ground was totally against her on that occasion. Whereas her two runs previously at Cork and, of course, at Leopardstown in the trial on soft to heavy ground, which she's going to encounter today, were much more in keeping with what this filly is all about. She's a real grinder on softest ground, and the fact that she handles the conditions better than most will definitely stand her in good stead. I'm not saying she's going to definitely beat Minding. That would be absolutely crazy. But I think she'll finish a good deal closer than the 8 lengths suggested at Newmarket. And I know she's going to make the run in here today. Connections know only one way of riding it, i.e. from the front, and just keep winding up. She's a really good filly with a cut in the ground. And odds around about 14-12-1 this morning. I'll see her at least making the frame.
OK, Jet Setting then each way for Andy. There's a few like-minded people out there. That one's been backed in from 20-1 to 12-1 with us here this morning. We've got Betting Without the Favourites as well available on the website now. Jet Setting 4-1 without Minding if you fancy following Andy in with that one. We go ahead to race number 3 now, which comes up at 2:30. A Group 3 event here over a mile and a quarter where Beacon Rock heads the betting at 11-10 this morning. Houses of Parliament is a 2-1 chance, 6-1 for Land of Hope and Glory. General MacArthur is 16-1. Foxtrot Charlie 20s, 33-1 Santa Monica. So a small and select field here. Andy, what do you fancy in the Group 3 event?
Well, Ryan Moore fancies Beacon Rock, doesn't he? Because he's had the choice in the Ballydore Brigade. Him, of course, himself at Beacon Rock, Houses of Parliament, and Land of Hope and Glory do justice or do battle for Ballydore. But I actually think he might have got it wrong here, because I've got a massive amount of time for the other horse, Houses of Parliament, who won at Dundalk in a very fast time. Somewhat sad that I thought he was a good thing, or not a good thing, but he'd run really well at Chester, and he did so in the Vars behind Verin's Army. I think that was a decent race. The figures suggested it was. It was one of my fastest times at Chester. They went a good gallop, and all that was a bunch finish, and obviously some may question the form. I actually think it's OK. A little bit of cut in the ground, shouldn't inconvenience his horse. He handled it well enough first time out at Leopardstown. It certainly won't be as bad as it was on that day when he got beat by Bhutan. And I know this horse stays really well in a strong time. So even though Ryan Moore's picked Beacon Rock, who hasn't looked the most straightforward of rides so far, to my eye anyway, this season, he can go a little bit lazy in his races. And he's very, very much hard work. I think that's one reason why Ryan Moore's on this horse. He does need plenty of stoking. I think they're a much more straightforward conveyance is Houses of Parliament, and he's my choice in the 2:30.
Houses of Parliament then gets the pick for Andy, Aidan O'Brien and Shamie Heffernan teaming up on that one. We go to the 3:05 now. This is race number 4 on the card. Premier Handicap here ran over a mile, where Strator is the 8-1 favourite this morning, 9-1 about Aussie Valentine, Champagne or Water a 10-1 chance along with Marshall Jennings and Credit the Giver. Then it's 11-1 Canary Row and Craig's Pipes, 12-1 Bar. This looks a wide open heat, Andy.
Yeah, it does. But when I get races like this at the Curragh, then I usually try and stick with the obvious routine and go for horses that have run well over the course before, particularly on softest ground. Horses that have run well in all these Premier Handicaps, the like of the Irish Lincoln, etc., etc. And I don't think he'll go too far wrong. Certainly think Aussie Valentine's got to be there or thereabouts. He loves a bit of cutting the ground, something that you wouldn't normally expect at this time of year. So connections are persevering with him. If he runs to the level which saw him finish second to Stable Companion Shrewtown in the Irish Lincoln on the first day of the Irish flat season, he's got to obviously have a major chance. But I do quite like the chances of Canary Row here. Now, he certainly has been a bit of a frustrating character anyway, up until this season, when he just seems to, for one reason or another, turned over a new leaf. He went a long, long time without winning, 4 years, in fact, since his a two-year campaign when he won at Tipperary, to find his next victory. And that came first time up this year, as I said, at Limerick, when he handled the cut in the ground really well that day, and he beat a decent field in a very fast time. The race has worked out really well. And he went to Nace, full of confidence that he might be able to follow up. Although he didn't actually manage to win that day, the ground probably would have been a little bit too quick for him, and the fact that he was too far back in a race where it paid to be handy all counted against him. But he's got a very good draw here today. Their race obviously on the round track, and a draw next to the rail before they come into the home straight is certainly crucial. He likes to race up with the speed. I think he'll take a lovely toe in behind the pace, and given his current well-being, it's hard to see Canary Row not running well here today. And at 11-1 with William Hill, that's a standout price. I think he'll go a favourite here, Canary Row. I'm sure that he'll give us a great run for our money.
Canary Row then is the choice of Andy in that race. There we go to the 3:40. Now another Group 1. This is Tassel's Gold Cup. Ran over 8.25. Found is the 4-6 favourite here. 11-4 Fascinating Rock. The Grey Gatsby is 7-1. And it's 28-1 bar those three. Obviously the front two in the market have got recent form, Andy. Found coming out on top of Fascinating Rock on that occasion. Any obvious reason why the form should be reversed here?
Well, there's a chance that Fascinating Rock might improve significantly from that first run. He was a heavily back favourite as well that day, but he just could not live with Aidan O'Brien Star Filly, who to my mind is one of the best fillies around in Europe. She proved that last season, and she looks like continuing that in her four-year-old campaign. I do actually think that the value in this race, without the favourite obviously taking away the obvious Fascinating Rock, is Success Days from the Ken Condon stab. Now, Ken was a little bit worried about the ground conditions in the build-up to this race throughout the week. In fact, he wasn't going to run this horse unless they had the rain, but it's come, and it's come in great quantities, such quantities that the ground is obviously now soft pretty much all over the Curragh. If you go back to that run at last time out, when he finished in front of Fascinating Rock on ground, that probably was almost a little bit too quick for him. He'd certainly have a chance of at least chasing having the favourite. And if he obviously come up against a very good filly the time before in the Shabby Zakova on heavy ground. So, you know, he's not a million miles away from what's required here, Success Days. And you could either back him with the favourite at 28-1, obviously without the favourite. And I think you might get a little bit of smidgen of value there. So, Success Days, not an obvious one for many, but I think he's going to run much better than his odds suggest.
Okay, success days then. That could be a value punt for Andy in the 3:40, the second Group 1 on the card at the Curra on Sunday. We go ahead now to the 4:10, which is race number 6 on the card. A mile and a quarter handicap for us here. Another one with plenty of runners down to contest it. Birthplace is the 4-1 favourite. 8-1 Manine. Mega Fortune is 9-1. 10-1 Tonkinese, and bigger prices for the rest of them. What are you liking this? Another ultra-competitive looking handicap.
Yeah, Brendan Duke's got a very small string in his, against his disposal nowadays, but he's a very, very canny handler when he has got something on the upgrade, and that seems to be the case with the Mouse Doctor, who comes here off the back of a win here at Killarney the other day, and I thought it was quite impressive the way he went through that race. OK, he scrambled home in the end as Aspen Mountain in Lucky Davy Watchman horse, probably should have beaten him, but it was still a good run from this horse, and that was his first run for quite a while off the all-weather surface. Obviously he handled the conditions well that day, and providing he can cope with the softest ground here this afternoon, there's no reason to suggest why he won't go well here. First of all, foremost, he's got a very good draw in track one. As I've talked about, you need to be drawn low on the round track. Obviously they race round the bend first before they come into the home straight, so if you get a ground saving run up the inner, you can save lengths. And I think connections are actually eyeing up a little bit more of a lofty engagement later on in the season at Royal Ascot. I think they mentioned perhaps the Britannia. Well, he's certainly going to have to win this race if he's going to be even verging on getting into the Britannia. I think you need to be at least a 90 horse to get in there, so he'd have to win this today. So hopefully Brendan Duke's Mouse Doctor can perhaps book his place at Royal Ascot with a win here in this competitive looking 4:15, 4:10.
Mouse Doctor, the one then in that race for Andy. We go to the penultimate race on the card now, which is the 4:45. A handicap here over 2 miles this time. Jenny's Jewel, 3-1 favourite for this. Then it's 7-1 about Botany Bay, Dior and Sense of Victory. 9-1 Asbury Boss, and 10-1 or bigger for the rest of them. What do you make of this bunch?
Almost had to do a double take, Sam, to be honest, when I saw Jenny's Jewel in the lineup yesterday. But I got really, really excited the more I actually delved into her form and her chances. She's just been an unbelievable mare. Four connections, obviously Jaha Fai, he hasn't got that many horses in his, at his disposal, but this horse has done him proud for the last three or four seasons, running against all the very best horses throughout the winter in Ireland, you know, against the good 2.5 mile, 3 mile horses. I actually think this horse is a little bit better than what he, her ability suggests, because she's a very, very bad jumper. She literally clouts numerous hurdles on the way around. It's only her flat speed and her absolute ability that keeps her in the race half the time. But she was good enough to finish second in the Grade 1 last time out at Punchestown. And connections, I know, because I was in the winners' enclosure, were absolutely cock-a-hoop. It was as if they'd won the Gold Cup. They were screaming and shouting and giving her, you know, all the sort of kind of like love and the patting that she deserved after finishing second to One Track Mind. She won the time before as well, beating a decent field at Thurles. And, you know, she's good enough to finish second to Vroom Vroom Mag on soft ground at Ascot in a Grade 2 race in the depths of winter. So she's a very, very good mare, this horse. She's certainly not to be taken lightly. And if you actually go back to her flat form, it's not too shabby either as well. Although she hasn't actually had many starts on the level, her latest performances, such as beating a decent field at Galway, finishing second to Wicklow Brave at Gowran, and fourth to Rebel Fitz at Listowel, would certainly give her a great, great opportunity to take in this horse. I actually can't believe the handicap has actually kept this horse off a mark of 80, 83. He's actually dropped to £2 since the last win at Galway when she was an 85 rated horse. So she comes in great form. She'll love the ground. She stays really well. I think she's a fantastic bet here today at 3-1. I really do think she's so well handicapped that I won't say she's only got to turn up and win. That would be a bit of a flippant comment, but I'll be absolutely flabbergasted if she doesn't put it up to them here. So, really strong vote today in the 4:45 is Jenny's Jewel.
Yeah, strong choice then for Andy. Jenny's Jewel in that 4:45. The final race on the card today on this Sunday comes up at 5:15. We close the fairs with a mile and a quarter maiden. Market for this one headed by Mighty Legend at 3-1. Muta Defek is 7-2. Then it's 4-1 for Safar. The Major General 6-1. Sean O'Casey 8-1. Zabalan 8-1. Double figure quotes for the rest of them. What are you liking the lucky last, Andy?
Well, I'm hoping that Flying Bullet, who runs early on in the card, will justify or back up the form of my selection in the final race, which comes in the shape of Mighty Legend, who chased home Dermot Welsh Charge at Nace on the 11th of May. And he did so from an uncompromising position as well. Didn't think he was going to get anywhere near the eventual winner, as it turned out. But to only get beaten by a head was a really commendable effort. And he looks as though stamina is very much his key suit, because, as I said, he was quite a bit back on that particular occasion. Prior to that, he'd run well in a very good maiden at Leopard Sound, which Houses of Parliament, finished second in, and we've seen him, of course, finish go on to win at Dundalk and finish third in a group race at Chester subsequently. So the form of his two races is very, very smart. This doesn't look a particularly strong maiden, dare I say it. Aidan O'Brien doesn't look as though he's got too many major weapons to fire. And I think Sapphire could be slightly flattered, to say the very least, by his 105 rating, because, of course, he's finished second to the Gurkha, all beaten by an absolute country mile, and finishing down the field in a Group 2, Group 3 last time at Leopardstown. But that's Jim Bolger all over. He does that on numerous occasions. He doesn't care about handicap marks and, you know, weights and measures. He just kind of, like, runs them as he sees fit. But I do think Mighty Legend here, with the Halford team in good form, should go very close in the last.
OK, Mighty Legend in the last then for Andy. Just give us a quick recap then of your eight selections for the action on Irish 1000 Guineas Day at the Curragh.
Yes, another star-studded day of action at the Curragh this afternoon. Starting off by Maritzburg as an each-way choice from a good draw in the 120. I'm going to take a little bit of a chance on jet-setting, upsetting one or two more illustrious names in the Irish 1000 Guineas. Hopefully Ryan Moore, from my point of view, has got it wrong in the Genelol Stakes, when I'm going to go with second string Houses of Parliament. I'm pretty sure that Canary Row, if he runs to his best level of form, will be there or thereabouts in that 3.05. Once again, a value pick for me in the Tattersalls Gold Cup. I'm going to recommend Success Days without the favourite in that particular contest. In the 4.10, the Mouse Doctor, who won well 5 days ago down in Killarney, is my choice there. My best bet in the card is Jenny's Jewel, who surely has to go well off her current handicap mark in that staying handicap. In the final race, I'm going to bookend the card with a Mickey Halford selection with Mighty Legend.
There we are then, Andy Holding's thoughts for Irish 1000 Guineas Day at the Curragh. Thank you very much for that, Andy. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Will do. Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.